So glad you're here tonight. We have the youth who came in, the children came in, and we just wanted to have everybody in here tonight. We'd celebrate what God's done for us in 2020. Many, 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 many things He's done. Excuse me. That you won't hear about up here tonight. But God's at work. He's doing some big things, doing some mighty things. I was just writing a letter today that's going to be coming out, and the thing that God's doing, He's in the middle of what the devil's doing in 2020. God is separating. In all this stirring out there in the world, there's a separation taking place. Separating out who God's real people are, who's really going to walk by faith, and God's setting them aside and saying, okay, here's some I can use in this era.
Amen.
People that are giving up, getting discouraged, watching too much news, letting that dominate their thinking, becoming oppressed, turning fearful, turning worried, all of that. God's just saying, well, you know, I'd like to set them aside for this era, but they're not passing the test. I'm looking at a bunch of test passers tonight. Amen. Amen. And standing in faith. We're going to hear some good testimonies this evening. You're going to hear two things, really, as you hear these testimonies. You're going to hear that, the things that happened in people's lives. You remember Jesus was teaching in the parable of the sower. He said the seed is the word of God. And you're going to hear lives that were you're going to have situations that turned out different than they would have if it had not been for a seed got planted into their life. I'm talking about the truth of God's word. This church has learned, although we pray for people, this church has learned, it's not just pray for me, Pastor. They've learned to be intelligently involved in their miracle. By getting their minds renewed with the Word of God and being a doer of the Word, standing in faith.
Amen.
And letting that, in other words, getting that seed of that Word planted in their hearts, because it's just insanity to expect a harvest where seed's not been planted. No farmer can exercise faith out here for a crop. This next spring he's going to plant seed. And no farmer will be able to believe for a crop by next fall without planting seed. He can say, I believe God can do it. But God doesn't do anything without planting a seed. God doesn't get a crop of corn, crop of soybeans, crop or whatever He's planting without planting a seed. So what you're going to hear tonight is people that got a harvest because they planted the seed. They took the time to let the seed get planted in them. Amen? Amen. Stop trying to reap a harvest without getting the seed planted in you. It's impossible. In fact, God doesn't work that way. I said, God doesn't work that way. How many of you remember He sent His word over there in Psalm 107? He sent His word and healed them. He healed them by sending the word. In other words, the seed of the word of God. What is that word? It's the knowledge of God's will. So you're going to hear people with testimonies tonight because they got knowledge of the will of God that they got a harvest. Amen. They didn't just believe God could, they believed it was His will because they got that seed planted in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the seed, although you'll hear some people say that someone prayed for it and we prayed for them or something, the seed, that didn't happen, let me put it this way, before the prayer, the seed got planted. You know what I mean? The seed of God's word was what gave them the harvest that you're going to hear about tonight, not the prayer. Do you realize that you can pray, but if you don't know the will of God and don't know how to stand in faith, you won't get anything. Because faith is based on knowing God's will. Knowing He heard you, knowing how to walk by faith. And really, the seed of God's word will do the same thing that you're going to hear tonight. Because this is why we give testimony, to stir people up and say, here's what God will do for you if you take Him at His word.
Amen.
That's why we're having this service, so we can encourage people. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, to our knowledge, we don't have any record that she heard Jesus preach. But she heard the testimony of what Jesus had said and what He did for somebody else. Amen. And she just simply said, well, listen, I heard what they said he said about the anointing being on him, and I heard what it did for them. Bible just simply said she heard of Jesus. So that could be one of two things. Somebody could told her the sermon he preached, or and told about the testimony about how they were healed. Isn't that right? But see, it all came out of whatever they heard. And what did they hear? They heard the word. Or they heard the word that was preached. Somebody repeated the word that was preached. Or they heard the fruit of it. They heard the fruit of it. Amen. So somebody, they heard about somebody that planted that seed, got the seed planted. Because how many of you know the word is powerless, just like a seed laying in a seed bin somewhere is powerless without it getting planted. Amen. So you're going to hear people that got a harvest tonight, but it was because they went ahead and, you know, planted the seed. And then they intelligently cooperated with what they learned from the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And they got their harvest. Amen. And they didn't dig it up. So number one, you're going to hear someone planted the seed to get the harvest that they got. In other words, they got that seed planted. And then number two, you're going to hear they didn't quit whenever they got that seed planted. They didn't keep digging it up to see if it was working. They just stuck with it. Amen. In other words, they planted the seed and kept it planted and kept it watered. And they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't put their attention on what they saw. They just stood. You're going to hear this over and over tonight. They just stood and kept looking back to the Lord, looking back to the Word, looking back to what He said. And they just, even if sometimes they got discouraged, somebody came along and helped them get looking back to the Word. Get looking back to the Word. And as they stayed connected, even if they got disconnected, they got reconnected.
Amen.
Up with the Word. And when they stayed with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
When they stayed with it.
Yes.
And listen, they didn't quit mid-miracle.
Because
how many of you know a miracle can be started, but you got to stay with it.
Amen.
I know Lindsay Roberts. Lindsay Richard Roberts were preaching a couple days ago about a dream she had at night where Naaman started dipping. She had a dream of Naaman dipping, and then all of a sudden, the water he was dipping in all of a sudden became masses of people.
Yeah.
And they would dip once, and some left. Dip second time, more of them left. Dip more, three, some more left. And people kept leaving saying, well, this isn't working. But see, God said seven times. Amen. And Naaman went all the way and didn't quit mid-miracle. And she said, whenever everybody came up the seventh time, people said, I got my miracle. I got this. I got my healing. I got my house. I got my new car. I got. And they were just shouting all over the water. And the Lord was telling her, tell my people not to quit mid-miracle. I said, that'll preach. I had to text them on that one. I said, that one will preach. How many of you know, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you what? If you don't quit. You don't faint. You don't give up.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking at a room full of people that just aren't quitters. They don't. I mean, they grabbed a hold of the Word of God and they're not letting it go of it for the devil or anybody that speaks for him.
Hallelujah.
So that's what you're going to hear tonight. I want to encourage those that are coming to give their testimony why you're doing this. And I just want to share something real briefly. Because, in the book of Acts, we see a couple of times. There's one time in Acts 15 and another time in Acts 21, where Paul, after returning from a journey, he just simply reported all the miracles that happened. He just came back and told the home church, here's what God did. Here's the miracles that happened over in this city. And I mean, they sat there, the Bible said, they just sat there and listened to those miracles. And just one account says they just sat silently and listened to all those miracles. Glory to God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sit and listen to a whole bunch of miracles tonight. And so it's important that we do, remember Jesus told that man, the madman of Gadara that was healed, he said, go and tell your friends what great things the Lord's done for you. It's important, God puts a lot of importance on telling what happened.
Yeah.
Preaching the word, number one, but then telling what happened, telling what the results of that were. And so that's what you're going to do tonight. If you're up here giving your testimony, you're just going to rehearse what God did for your life and and really encourage other people, this is what God will do for you. Because he's no respecter of persons. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. What's the purpose? Number one, we're giving God the glory. How many of you know when the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible said whenever he's come, he'll glorify me. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he'll glorify me. So what we're doing when we testify tonight, we're glorifying the Lord. We're saying, look what the Lord has done. We had in a play, you know, we're going to see that the people that come up here to give the testimony, we're going to see that they had a role to play, that their faith played a role, and so forth and so on. But really, if it had not been for the Lord, our faith would have done nothing. He's the one that gets the glory tonight. I said, he's the one that gets the glory tonight. And so that's why we tell our testimonies, because, you know, he gets the glory. And really, retell our testimony, because the more we tell things that happen, the more it opens the door for more of it to happen.
That's right.
When Brother Hagin kept telling his testimony over and over again about being healed and raised up off of a deathbed, that opened many, many doors for it to happen for many, many people.
Amen.
And so we're telling it because we want more of it.
Yes.
Amen. So it gives glory to God. And it opens the door for more of it to happen. It stirs people's faith.
Amen.
You remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, a couple years ago, we read that book, My Time in Heaven, by Richard Sigmund. Remember, he said in heaven there's this, I think he described it like a corridor where there's, I guess he'd kind of, if I understood the way he was describing it, it's like screens were playing of the miracles, of the happenings and doings of God, the things he had done on the earth. And just, it was just playing on loop, so to speak. Just keep on playing, just keep on playing. Why? So God could get the glory and continually get the glory.
Amen.
Continually get. You ought to be the biggest billboard in this church.
Yeah.
Just flashing everywhere you go. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I mean, Paul, who had more revelation than any man that walked the earth, when he stood before King Agrippa, if there's anybody you want to impress, it's the king. And you could wax eloquent with all your revelations and visions and everything, but he didn't. He just simply told his testimony. Told about God dealing with him on that road to Damascus. Amen. And the king got so convicted, he started shaking and said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the anointing that can get on telling your testimony.
Yeah.
I said, that's the anointing that can get on you telling your testimony. I want you to get up here and yield to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
That means the Holy Ghost will anoint you to speak prophecies, inspired utterance in a known tongue. He'll anoint you to tell what Jesus did for you. So I want you to get up here and yield to the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want you to take over the service, because we got other people that are going to come behind you. So if you can keep it to 10 minutes, we could get everybody in tonight. Tell your neighbor, that's going to be hard for some of you. You know how it is. Amen. We ought to properly honor what God did for us by telling it. If you and I will honor the experience we had with the Word by acting on the Word and being faithful to be doers of the Word and tell people what God did for us, what that does is it opens the door for more of it to happen. Amen. You get to participate in a flow of the Spirit where God keeps doing more and more. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, are you ready for some good testimonies?
Amen.
Let's tell what God has done, and let's invite him to do some more.
Amen.
Let's just say, Lord, we're hungry for you to move in our lives in 2021 like you are in 2020. Praise the Lord. I mean, the Bible says over and over again, you read different verses in the Gospels, it said that his fame spread abroad. Throughout the whole country. Well, that's what we're doing tonight. We're spreading his fame abroad.
Amen.
There's going to be people. We get people watching all over the United States. I've gotten Christmas cards this year of people I don't know and said, we're watching you on live stream. We're hearing the good things God's doing. Minister friends are texting. Minister friends are sending us cards and saying, thank you for what's being preached.
Amen.
Well, they're going to hear some good reports tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah, because there's more happening here than just the preaching.
Amen.
And his fame's going to be spread abroad throughout all this region and wherever this message goes. I know Dr. Dufresne said that one time, you remember that angel that came and showed up in a man's room there was a long story about how that the angel ended up influencing a man to give the money to pay off his church building there in California years ago. Those angels were involved in that financial miracle, which saved them from losing that building. But here's the thing. In later years, the Lord spoke to Dr. Dufresne and said, if you'll tell that more, then that angel will work more. Well, we ought to get a clue about some of our testimony. If we'll tell more. I said, if we'll tell it more. And not be ashamed of it. I mean, you ought to go through the grocery line and the teller says, how you doing? You go, oh my goodness, I had the most amazing thing happen to me. And they go, really? Because nobody's getting anything amazing nowadays, you know. And you go, yeah, you need to go figure on this. Think about this. I was whatever, and here's what happened, and tell what God did. And just tell them right there in front of God and and the devil and everybody. And just let everybody in line hear it.
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't have to preach. You don't have to know the King James Elizabethan English. Just tell the story. And just say, isn't that the wildest thing? Pay for your bill and say, I just want you to think about that. That's the most amazing thing. I'm going to go home and think about it more myself. Are you ready for some good testimonies tonight? I don't have any particular order to call these individuals up on. I just, you know, said, hey, let's just start here and see where it goes. But I think we ought to start with Tamika Johnson. And, I mean, she's got herself a testimony. Now, I don't know how long-winded she's going to be because her testimony was about two, I don't even know if it was two sentences long. Yeah. But tell us what happened and how it all happened.
It was Teresa's
fault. Is that on?
It's on.
Oh, testing. It's okay. We got to turn it on up here, I think.
No, they're supposed to be able to turn.
Yeah,
it on.
There you go. See if that works. There you go.
So yes, this is Teresa's fault. So I'm going to stand over here because I had to forgive her for my healing. So back in July-ish, out of a sudden, I could not see out of this eye right here. I went completely blind. I went to the doctor, and you know, he put that light all up in your face. And he was literally there, and I could not even see him at all. And I blamed it on her because the week before that happened, we had that water fight. If you guys were at that picnic. So I forgive you. So you won. But no, I wasn't going to say anything at all. I was just like, thank you, Lord, I can see. So we went to Davenport to go to Famous Dave's, and I'm usually the driver. So I was like, maybe I should tell them because they want to get home safely. Yeah. So like I told my mom, and I was like, yeah, I can't see you right now out of this eye. She was like, oh, well, yeah, that was our first conversation. So on Sunday, she was like, do you want me to tell Pastor Jay? And I was like, no, that's cool. I'm going to be able to see. She did it in a way. So I was working in the bookstore. She came and got me. She's like, he'll pray for you. So he laid hands on my eyes and he said, optical nerves, come back. So basically that week I could see, but it was blurry. After that week, I went completely blind. And then I went to the doctor, and then that Sunday after that, so that's probably like July 7th. I don't know if you guys remember this service, but he came up here and he says, we're not praising enough. And the night before, it was funny because you mentioned my time in heaven. I went to bed, and I was not in fear at all or anything. I was like, I'm going to get a new eye. And then I closed my eyes and went to sleep. And I was getting dressed Sunday morning, and I was like, I heard you need a praise. So all the way to church, I was praising God and thanking him that I could see. And then that Sunday, I was sitting right behind Miss where Miss Ann was, and he came up and he said, "Put your hands out." And like I said, I couldn't see, and it was like pitch dark in my eye. He didn't even get to touch me, and it was like a lightning bolt. And I literally knocked down this whole row. Did I hear his name? Yeah, you did. And the lightning bolt hit my eye, and like I could start seeing light. And I'm a reader, so every time I would read, I'd be like, the entrance of his word brings light. So gradually, I was able to see and see, and I can see now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. Glory. Let's give him some praise this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah.
And I also believed, since I was a driver, I'm supposed to say this for my mom, I had to believe that I can drive faster because she doesn't put the car in park. And so the car will keep going once we stop. So I had to believe to see for that.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's a good testimony. Thank God. I mean, now we can say we've had someone in our church that was blind and now they can see. Praise the Lord. I don't think Linda Adkins got to make it tonight because of the snow. They live out in the country, and so their roads are probably not as plowed as ours. So some of you that live on the West Coast in California, you think we're all in the country, but we're not. Amen. So we got 6-8 inches of snow last night. So, but she did send in her testimony, and I want to just read it. I just think it's just the easiest just to read it, and so you can hear about it. Some of you know, I think she has a date on here, a year and a half ago, I believe, that she had surgery on her thyroid. I believe it was thyroid cancer. And I guess in the process of the surgery, they I don't know if it's made a mistake or how it all happened, but her vocal cords were paralyzed because of the surgery. And she wrote this in and wanted us to share it tonight, so I'm going to share it for her. She said, "You're looking at a woman that is being progressively healed. I'm standing and not giving up my healing rights. The devil tried to shut me up a year and a half ago. I had surgery for thyroid cancer. As a result of the surgery, my vocal cords were paralyzed. So speaking and breathing were difficult. As a woman, that is rough. I could not use my 20,000 words a day." We won't ask Steve how appreciative he was of that or anything, but we know he's in faith because she got this back. So as a woman, I was rough. I couldn't use my 20,000 words a day. Then 4 months after the first surgery, a second surgery was performed to put in a tracheotomy. Is that how you say that? Tracheotomy. To help me breathe so I know about attacks and counterattacks of the evil one. With each checkup, I was told that the vocal cords were not moving much at all. And if they did not start moving after a year, then they are probably not coming back. Not acceptable, she said. Amen. A girl's got to talk. Amen. 4 weeks ago, at a checkup, the doctor asked if I wanted the trach taken out. The vocal cords were now moving sufficiently to take out the trach. Amen. They were not moving at all. And then she's in an appointment and just out of the blue, I asked her about this. And out of the blue, he just said, "You want the trach taken out? They're moving in there." So that's the power of God working in her. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My healing is a progression, excuse me, and not instant. Of course, we all want immediate healing. People ask what scriptures I'm standing on. Well, it's ever changing, but I usually come back to 1 Peter 2:24. For me, the in Christ realities are important to meditate on. A thought came to me. How can I doubt what Jesus has done for me? It was completed 2,000 years ago. It's not going to happen. It was done. Amen. And healing is mine. I believe that was my turning point. Amen. In other words, she got a hold of the fact it's not going to happen. Jesus already did it 2,000 years ago. I'm even ever thankful to my pastors teaching the Word and flowing with the Holy Ghost. If I wasn't sitting under the Word, my outcome would not have been this good. Praise God forevermore. There's that seed of the Word of God that I was talking about. And she's having continual recovery. We're believing with her for complete recovery. But the doctors were really not giving her any positive diagnosis, whatever you call it, to tell her that that trach would ever come out. They thought that they weren't coming; those vocal cords weren't coming back. But the life and power of God will do what really is not possible for man. Amen.
Amen.
And we're expecting complete and whole recovery for her. And she's talking. And I don't know if Steve's happy about it, but she's talking. So they're probably watching tonight. Let's have Ethan come up. Is Ethan, I saw him earlier. Come on up here, Ethan.
All right. I'll go ahead and hold it because it wants to slide off the podium. So, so just a little backstory. I'm a contract employee at contract employee for Tech Systems, and I was when they call it the client, and the client in this particular case was Collins Aerospace, is where I was based out of. So I was there for a little while, and you know everything was going fine. I was starting to learn stuff, and I was very excited about learning stuff. But things changed when COVID hit. And at first, seemed like everything's going to be all right, but we all know how that went. So it's interesting because I actually lost my job on the 29th. I lost my job, that Friday, and I just celebrated my 29th birthday on March 22nd. So it's kind of interesting, to say the least. I knew I would bounce back quickly, and I was trusting God for a new one. Or at least I did tell myself I was trusting God. But as the year continued on, I came to the realization some things were in me spiritually and some things were missing. Fear, worry, anger, and wavering on what God told me were inside of me. So God did have to deal with me, a lot of those things. And looking back, I see I was looking for the job for the wrong reasons. I was in fear. I was worrying about losing my house and everything. And I wasn't fully trusting God like I thought I was. As time went on, I'm definitely grateful for the people who were part of the church here, who would help just encourage me and keeping me going and reminding me of the scriptures that I could add to my arsenal to stand on because it wasn't easy. And there were times that I still missed the mark, but Jesus never gave up on me, and I'm grateful for him for that. As things kept going, I had different interviews. I kept getting turned down for different positions for one reason or another, or didn't hear back. That's any of those recruiters are watching this, let people know why, or at least say, sorry, we're not going with you. Just a little 101. So it does get very annoying, especially when you call them back. It's like, oh, well, we want somebody else. Thanks for telling me. But I guess common sense only goes one way. Anyway, so, but I did remember one of the conversations that I had with Miles. He basically told me that God would turn things around for me, and that is actually was one of my songs that I was singing through the year, was that God would turn things around for me. And as time still progressed on, I realized one of the things that was my issue was prayer. Prayer was great. I prayed. Praise, on the other hand, was terrible. It was comically bad about how little praise I had. And not a lot of people know this about me, but I used to play in a trombone in high school. So, you know, they tell you about me and sounding great and this and that. My voice when I sing is terrible. I know that. And I didn't want to hear myself sing. Which, you know, looking back, I realized that was part of my problem was I didn't want to hear my voice. And I wasn't doing a lot of praise. I wasn't doing a lot of worshiping. So I wasn't getting anywhere with my faith because I wasn't opening my mouth. And the faith that I have wasn't enough. But I kept hearing it being taught from the pulpit over and over and over and over. So I realized that I'm just going to have to start doing this more and more and more and more. Because it wasn't going to be just my education alone or the little faith that I had that was going to bring about a miracle for me to turn things around. So, So finally, I did get an interview for a particular place and for a role. I won't go into all the details, but it wasn't what I wanted. And I was still trusting the Lord that he would bring about what I wanted. But I did go ahead and just accept it because I'm like, okay, I need something, this, that, whatnot. So I just like, I'm going to just take this. But the Lord knew I wasn't happy with it and stuff like that. And it was just getting toward the point where in the natural it looked like nothing was changing, honestly. So the funny thing about it was I did finally hear back from my recruiter at a completely different contracting agency that I was working with because, you know, you reach out to multiple people and say, like, hey, I'm looking for a job here, here, and here, and stuff like that. And he reached out, and he was like, and told me about this particular role that came up. He's like, I said, I'm like, okay, cool. Who is the employer? And stuff like that because, again, I'm a contractor, so there's a client. He said, oh, it's going to be with Collins Aerospace. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm like, do you know who the manager or anything is like that? And he's like, no, we don't have that information. They didn't provide it to me and stuff like that. It's like, okay, cool. So the original agency contacted me as well, and I explained to him, like, oh, I'm going with such and such. But I was curious. I'm like, well, who's the manager? He's like, oh, it's going to be blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's my ex-manager from before. So I actually know who he is and stuff like that. So the interview, went into the interview. He basically said, it's going to be short. It's not going to take a full hour because we know who you are and stuff like that. Interview was at 11 a.m. I got done at 11:21 a.m. That's how short it was and stuff like that. So I let my recruiter know, I was like, hey, interview's over, blah, 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 gave feedback and stuff like that. He's like, well, if they offered you this position, would you accept? I said, yeah, I would definitely accept. This is definitely something I've done before with them and stuff like that. And the role was not anything that I couldn't do. But let's see. So I did accept. I got the offer. By the end of the day, they said, hey, they want to offer you. I said, I'd accept it. My start day is January 11th. I am totally overjoyed on how the Lord blessed me during the time. And looking back, I can say a couple of things that, first, without my pastors and my local church, I wouldn't have come out on the other side victorious, as it made a difference. Second, I realized that prayer without praise and worship doesn't show, doesn't actually help basically bring the job or anything to come through because the Bible didn't say Paul and Silas prayed, period, and the prisoners heard them pray. It says, and they heard them sing praises to the Lord. So I learned that, and I'm still learning that more and more, that praise and worship has to be part of my faith. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. And that is one of my goals for 2021, is just to do better with praise and worship. And one other thing I wanted to say is funny because with this new role as well, when they told me, it's like, oh, you're going to be paid this amount of money. And I was like, that's $7 more than I was making the first time. So not only that, he took care of me all that time. He encouraged me and stuff like that. I realized where I was missing it, and he helped me out with that. And he's like, for all my troubles, he's like, let me just give you a pay raise. So that is my testimony.
Amen. Praise God. What did you hear tonight? He got the word.
And he persisted.
Thank you. Thank you, Ethan. Amen. I don't know who wants to come up on this next one. Where's Nathan and Mary? They're here tonight. Huh? Oh, okay. You want me to go to the next person? Okay, then tell her we'll have her come up here next. All right, so let's move on. Let's go to Sujith. Come up here. Come on and tell your testimony. Amen. Give him a big hand as he comes.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one with the different accent. I hope. Yeah, but I do speak in English. So don't worry, I'll speak in English. And so I praise God for this opportunity, and I praise God for this opportunity. And my testimony is regarding how God led me to the Word of God through passages, sermons, and meetings, and the messages. And before I got my inner healing, and that's the one that I got it through the Word of God. And Jonathan, my son, used to come here for daycare here. And when I came here into this congregation, like, you know, into the church, I saw that, you know, you all have been having lots of joy of the Lord, and you have been rejoicing in the Lord. And you have been praising and worshiping in the Lord. And I also wanted to have that joy. I also wanted to rejoice in the Lord. But I didn't know how to get that one. I didn't know how to get that one. My master's degree in electronics engineering, my job in software engineering, I didn't get that one. That didn't tell me how to get that understanding. Yeah, the schools that I went to didn't tell me how to get that Word of God, how to get the understanding. So, but like, you know, I pray to God. I ask God many times to help me out. Like, God, help me to understand the Pastor Jay's messages, the sermons, how to get that one, how to get the understanding. And God heard my prayers. And one day, like, you know, he heard my prayers. And then he led me into this understanding. And the way how I went to, most of the time, like, you know, I repeatedly watch the messages again and again and again, like 15 minutes watching, and go back to 10 minutes, and then again watch, and until I get my understanding. And that's the way how I got my understanding, like Pastor Jay wrote. And you get the understanding, you get that healing before you're here, you get the hearing before the healing. That's what Pastor Jay wrote in his one of the book. And there are three testimonies that I wanted to share today. And first one is the way how God told me, like, you know, the way how in one of the sermon Pastor Jay was preaching the Luke chapter 8, 49 and 50. The word says that someone from Jairus' house came and told to Jairus that, and your daughter is dead, don't bother the teacher. But, like, you know, Jesus, by hearing that word, by hearing that, and he told to Jairus that, Don't be worried. Like, you know, just like believe in me. And Pastor Jay, and he was preaching with the understanding, and he told that Jesus told to Jairus, don't believe all what you hear. And at that moment, I got my healing. At that moment, God told me that I felt that God told me that, don't look at your son. Don't look at your problems, all the problems. Yeah. And that's the one that, you know, you need to do that. You know, you need to believe in me. Not looking into that, you know, into his problems, all the problems. And what you have it, what you're seeing it. Do not be afraid. When I hear the word of the God, I got my healing. And so hearing comes before the healing. That's what Pastor Joe wrote. And I praise God for that one. And my second one is my wife Hema, and she got, like, you know, some breathing issues. At its peak, one day when I woke up for my morning prayers, I saw her condition, and I saw that, like, you know, she was suffering, and at that moment I got my fear, and you know, I was gripped in the fear, and because of my situation, my family situation, and the devil used that situation and got me the fear into my, and I was rebuking it, but at the same time I was allowing it. And I was not able to get rid of that guy in one. I was in the grip of the fear for almost a week. And then Sunday came. And you can guess what I'm going to say it now. So the Sunday came. I came into the church. We all came into the church. And Pastor Jay started preaching. And that day the preaching was on. And guard your heart against the fear. guard your heart against the fear. And Pastor Jay started preaching, and then he led us all of us through the Word of God, starting with Proverbs 4:23. And then at the end of the service and at the end of the sermon, I was so strengthened that, like, you know, I believed that God did not give me the spirit of fear, but He gave me that, like, you know, He gave me that God has given me His power, His love, and the sound mind. That's the one that He gave it. So I don't need to be worried about it. And I heard that, you know, the Word of God again before I got my healing. And my third one, and my wife Hema got the surgery and the lung biopsy at UI for one of the tests. And one day, like, you know, prior to that Sunday, and here, like, you know, Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie, and they all laid their hands and for healing. And the church also prayed for her healing. And we all went to that appointment. It was early in the morning. And we went to that appointment, and I thought that, you know, that was our first time going into any kind of surgery. And then I thought that, like, you know, I was going to be there with her for all the time, but until except that, like, you know, surgery. But, like, you know, they asked me to go out. They asked me to go out of that one. So I went to the links in the UI, one of those links. I was standing there, and I hope Pastor Jay don't mind me using this word, and devil has another name, Yakidi Yakidi Yakidis. And that's the one that it started. And it started that, like, Yakidi Yakidi Yakidis. Look at that one. Look back. And it's a huge hospital. And you're standing alone. You're all alone. And your wife is in the hospital. Your son is in the school. And you all came from the far, far away, from India. And you don't have your family here. Your family is back in India. You're all alone. And that Akadi Akadi started. And you know what? Like the next voice, what I heard, and Pastor Jay's voice saying, and remember that the healing is Jesus' hands. And that's the one that, you know, Pastor Jay told us that day, the prior Sunday, at the gate, like, you know, while greeting, told that, don't forget that the healing is in Jesus' hands. That's the one that I heard it. And I was like, you know, hey, come on, you Yakidi Yakidis. And hey, here. And here I am, like, you know, I am part of this church. And the part of this church, the gates of the heads cannot stand against it. And I was like, you know, even your boss cannot stand against it. And I praise God for this one. And with this one, I'm finishing up my testimony. And these are the three examples. But Pastor Jay's sermons, the messages, led me to the Word of God. Led me to the Word of God with the understanding. And God helped me to enlighten the eyes of my understanding. And focus on Him rather than on the problems. And guard my heart. Guard my heart against, like, you know, the fear. And then use my authority in Christ. And that's the one that I learned it. I praise God and thank you. And thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Pastor Debbie, for that.
Amen. Love you. Amen. Did you get what he was saying? Yakety yak yak. That was what the devil was saying. They probably don't say it that way in India. Amen. So that was awesome. Praise God. Amen. Is Nathan there? There's Nathan. Mary, you want to come up? Nathan's going to come too. Whoever. All right. Who's going first? You're going together. All right. There you go.
All right.
Oops. Excuse me.
Pastor. So we've been planning on giving this testimony since 2019 in August. Okay. So I have to go back a little bit. It's a tithing testimony, okay? I was raised tithing. My dad will testify. I was taught to give the first 10 cents on my first dollar, kind of raised in tithing. And Nathan was kind of... He knew that tithing existed, and his dad tithed, but they didn't really learn about it at their church or anything. So when we got married, there was a little issue there because I was like, you tithe on, obviously, on the gross, right? The gross. You tithe on the first of everything. And that's I know so many sermons about why we're supposed to tithe, obviously. And he was like, well, I don't know, because isn't that for the Old Testament? And yeah.
Yeah, I knew about tithing. I knew the concept of it. But I was under the impression just for the longest time that, you know, well, I just didn't want to do it out of like a religious spirit. Like I didn't have revelation of it. And I am not the type of person to just do something just because that's what, you know, somebody says to do, or that's what everybody else is doing. I am not like that. I'm not that kind of person. So I didn't want to do it because I didn't understand it. And I'd you know, come up with excuses as to why, you know, and then we just, you know, I'll let Mary continue.
Yeah. So on my side, I, like I said, was always a tither. But I think as I got older and kind of started to, you know, make my own money and stuff, I just kept doing it religiously, like what he was saying he hates, which is great for our relationship. So I didn't really have the right heart about it either, even though I was continuing to do it. And then
it reminds me of that verse of, you know, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's like, you're just going through the act. God doesn't like that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I was. And
yeah, with me, it was, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to be a bad person. I want to do what God wants me to do. This is what you do. You don't break the rules. You tithe, you know? So anyway, but I knew, you know, God also doesn't force people. So I knew Nathan obviously didn't have revelation of it. So 4.5 years later, God finally got through to him. We kept talking about it. I would talk to him whenever I had the unction because, you know, if I tried to force him, that would just backfire entirely. So in August, in the Gem Family Camp meeting, Pastor Nancy ministered on finances. We don't remember the exact sermon.
Yeah, and it wasn't anything I hadn't heard before. Like, I could quote a lot of the tithing scriptures. I just, you know, it was more of a head knowledge than it was, you know, like a revelation. Yeah. So it was the same kind of thing over, you know, that I heard that night over and over, and then
continue. Yeah. So then, so I think, I don't know if it was on the way home or what, that night, I prayed for him because I was thinking, okay, he knows. This what is standing in the way? I don't get it. So I prayed for him and I was like, God, whatever it is, the last little bit that's standing in the way, I just ask you to remove it, you know, simple as that, in Jesus' name. And the next day on the way to the service, I was like, well, I'll talk to him about it because maybe it's gone now. And it didn't work. So I was like, well, just so you know, I feel like this is going to start to kind of be a problem, like a real problem. And I guess I should go back a little bit. Our finances up until that point, Nathan would get raises at work. And I was like, it's kind of hard to prove that tithing is really important because you keep getting raises. But the problem
I was making double what I was when we first got married. So, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah. But the problem was we kept getting into more debt. So, you know, if any of you have experienced debt, it just eats that right up, and you can just live at the exact same, almost the same standard. Maybe make a little bit of headway, and then you take 2 steps back, or you shift it to a different credit card. All that shucking and jiving, we did all that. So then in 2019, we found out we were pregnant, and all of a sudden we were like, we gotta get this figured out. We can't be having a baby and all this debt. So then that service in August, Pastor Jay got up and did the offering sermon, pretty much, you know, not anything new necessarily, but one of the things he said was, if you didn't like Pastor Nancy's sermon last night, then it was for you, basically.
I didn't not like it. Again, it was just
something like that. If you didn't agree with it or whatever, I don't know.
I didn't not like it. It was just, you know, the same thing I heard over and over and
yeah.
again. So,
but for some reason,
when you said that I was just like, wow, that's actually like that shoe fits me. You know, even though it was like, again, it wasn't anything I hadn't heard before. It's just, but when you said that,
it finally clicked
all of a sudden. And
so I was on TV and he came up to me after the service. He's like, I gave our tithe today in the service. And I was like, what? And I just like,
I mean, we'd given before and it just sounds
just
weird saying
now
it in
and
front
then,
of everybody here.
Not.
Cause everybody, you know, yeah. you know,
we've all been through this
yeah.
in different areas.
Okay. But it was the first time I actually did it. And I was like, no, this is right. And, I'll just kind of take over a little bit. over here. Sorry, the camera. Yeah. Hi. It was the first time I gave, out of the right heart, and I was really excited about it, and I told Mary about it, and we're like, great, this is like a game changer. And that's kind of where Mary, we talked about it later that night, and that's when Mary earlier said, this is the testimony we've been wanting to give.
This is going to be an awesome testimony.
Yeah, we just knew it was going to be. And that's why she said earlier we wanted to give this back in 2019.
Because I know Nathan, when he does something, he doesn't do it until he has revelation and he can do it in faith. So I was like, all right, here we are. Let's go. We're doing tithing now. Yeah.
So then we started studying on it more in the Word and listening to different sermons. But it was just like my attitude was totally different about it. And what really stood out to me was in Hebrews when it talks about Melchizedek. And Hebrews 5, it says, I've got a lot to tell you about this man, Melchizedek, but you're dull of hearing. You're still babes. You can't get it. So I was like, that's interesting. And then it talks about how how great Abraham was, and even he gave tithes to Melchizedek. And it says Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. And then it also the Bible also talks about there's lots of things, the borrower's slave to the lender, and that just kind of hit with me. I don't want to be in that situation. When you give tithe, there Jesus receives it also. So it's like and
there's a lot
with
a
that
lot of right? revelation we got.
Yeah, I got a lot of revelation about that. Melchizedek was before the Levitical priesthood, and that just kind of helped seal the deal for me, because this whole time I thought, tithing under the law, like the Pharisees did, and everybody did, just out of religion, basically legalism. That kind of sealed the deal for me, seeing that it was before the law, and that was just huge for me. So anyway,
yeah, go ahead. And for me during that time, what I learned, because I had to get revelation too, I thought I was good to go, but I used to struggle financially for years and years. I'm not even going to go into it. And I was tithing the whole time. So I wasn't doing it in faith that whole time. So I had to learn too. And what occurred to me was that I wasn't actually in faith for increase, like he talks about, like I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, test me and all that. I just didn't understand what the blessing really was or what true prosperity really was. I heard it, y'all know, I've been here forever. I heard it, but I just didn't know how to really apply it to my life. I thought I did, but what God showed me was that if you're prospering, it's going to make you're going to be in a better situation next month. And the next month, it's going to keep getting better. So when I was, younger, that might have been, I'll be able to buy a Starbucks next month or whatever. But at this time, it was, you're going to start paying off your debt. You're not going to keep getting into more debt. You're going to start paying it off, which was huge for us, because we would pay it off. Like I said, take one step forward and two steps back. We just keep getting into more and more and more. Or he'd get a raise and we'd end up with more debt a couple months later. And we didn't even notice it happening. And God showed me, even though he was getting raises and stuff, that's not true prosperity, because you guys were not moving forward. You weren't really prospering. So with that, we started tithing, every time we got the money and everything. And the first month was probably the most astounding, besides
September.
So just to give you an idea of how bad it was, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was 6 months pregnant or something, and I found out we had a charge or we had a bill from one of our credit cards come in, and it was a really big bill. So if you got a big bill from your credit card, that the actual balance is really big, but I couldn't see that, and I just was bawling, totally worried about our baby. What are we going to do? How are we going to... And I just humbled myself and I said, God, obviously we're not making this work. We've been trying. We need you. And he reminded me of Dave Ramsey and the Total Money Makeover. So the next day we listened to the book and we started doing baby steps. You start paying on the smallest debt and, so on and so forth. Yeah. Yeah. So we started doing that. That first month we were able to pay our tithe regularly, which was a huge deal, because Nathan one of his big excuses was, we don't have enough money to tithe. Like, we can't afford it. Well, the first month we afforded our tithe, we saved up our emergency fund, we were able to buy me a pregnancy wardrobe, which if you've ever been pregnant, you know, you don't just keep, you can't. So I went into the maternity store. Yeah. And I walked in and the lady said, oh, did you know we're closing? And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, yeah, everything's buy one, get two free. Yeah, that's a good deal. When you need a whole new wardrobe. Yes. So I got about $600-$700 worth of clothes for $200. That was big for us at that time. You know, we were real tight. And then what else? Oh, the thing that was getting in us in the most was our vehicles kept breaking, you know, replacing tires. And
yeah, like that Ford I sold. I blame the... yeah.
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. But no, we God led us to sell our vehicles, and I know a lot of you have been seeing me drive that hybrid car that starts with a P.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say it out loud, but it's a Prius. But that really kind of hit my ego hard. I didn't want to do it, but God led us to do it, and I'm glad we listened. I know we're running out of time, so I'll keep going. But we kept having instances like that where we'd you know, find deals, you know, things would be coming to us and it's like, wow, how did this, you know, why is this happening? And it's because we started tithing.
It was so obvious. It was such a huge, sharp change from what we'd experienced before.
Yeah.
We were so tight and all of a sudden we were able to, he provided for all of our needs all of a sudden. In the first month, we were able to put $1,200 on debt, which was just unbelievable. We couldn't even imagine how that happened.
I'll cut it short. So we had about $55,500 in debt at the beginning of October of 2019, which that's a big amount. I mean, a lot of that was on credit cards, and those interest rates are really high.
Yes.
We ended up paying off, as of December, we paid off $27,500 on that. Yeah. And then 2 weeks ago, God showed us the place where I had been saving and investments and that I'd forgotten about and we'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
And we were able to pay off.
There was a special circumstance that was kind of COVID.
Yeah, it was a COVID thing. But anyway, we're debt-free minus the house. So all $55,000 is paid off. Yeah, yeah. And we've given more to the, I mean, we continue to tithe. We continued, you know, we've given more to the church than we ever have. And some of the numbers I was writing was like, why am I doing this? I mean, before it would have been like, what am I doing? I would never have said yes to this ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh yeah, that's obvious.
Like, oh,
you know.
For God's sake, please.
Yeah. And I don't like saying I'm paying my tithe. I like to say I'm giving my tithe.
Yeah.
And just the heart mentality. And we've been able to, you know, bless other people more than we ever have. Because it's obviously not just about us and what we can get. You know, we want to be able to bless others. And we've always felt like we were going to be some of the biggest givers in the church. So whoever's number one now, you know, we're coming for you. But, but no, God just keeps showing us more and more ways to increase and give. And and I think it's a good thing that he did that to change my heart about it, because obviously, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. He had to change my character and, you know, my mentality about it before giving us increase, because otherwise we would misuse it and, you know, go about it all wrong. So,
And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
This is just our first financial testimony. I know, it's going to grow and grow. Praise God. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Love you.
Awesome.
Hallelujah. That doesn't light your fire. Your wood's wet. Boy, there's a lot in there. Hallelujah. I'm sitting there remembering that the Holy Ghost said by the Spirit one time that you're going to have $1 million sales in 1 year. That's coming. Now that you're in position for it. Amen. Wonderful testimony. Just one little fly in the ointment about the Ford. You know, that's the only problem with that. But, you know, everybody's mind's not completely renewed yet. You know how it is. Some are still on their way. Amen. All right. Jocelyn, let's see here. There you are. Are you ready? Come on up here. Jocelyn has had an amazing year. Satan came, but so did God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I almost don't know where to start. Yeah.
I should say this before you get started, because everybody's kind of thinking about that.
Yeah.
This year, we're going to do a Dave Ramsey course in the church.
Amen.
They mentioned that. I wanted to say that. So that's going to be available for you this year. We're working on the dates and how to schedule it, but I just thought I'd say that.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm kind of going to start in a weird spot. I'm actually going to start from just a couple nights ago. I just started doing a praise and worship night with my kids. Basically, every night, 15 minutes before they go to bed, we go to, it's technically Zoe's bedroom, but it's actually now our praise room. We go in there, sit at the piano, and we just praise God. It's different each night, but this last night, I actually had one, because my daughter will sometimes just out of the blue be like, "Oh, you're not going to do that for me," and just very negative. And so I was like, "Lord, we got to stop that." And he gave me this scripture. It's Philippians 4:8. It says, "Think on things that are lovely, just, and pure." That's my year. If you want to sum up, not going to cry. Sum up my year, it's to think on things that are lovely, just, and pure. Rewind. So back at the beginning of the year, God put on our heart to start believing for a child. So Brenda and I, we got in faith together and we started believing, and we found out that we were pregnant. It was awesome. Then I'm going to work. I'm doing my things. I'm totally not going to follow that. I started going to work, and then one day I just didn't quite feel right. It just, right at the end of the day, I ended up getting sick. Went home, and then the following day, nothing would stay. Didn't matter what I ate. Could be healthy, could be whatever. It did not stay. I went through that week of eating absolutely nothing. Can't eat nothing, that means you can't drink nothing. I became very, very dehydrated. That was week number one. Week number two. right at the end of week number one, I told Brendan, I was like, "We're going to have to go in." And for me to say I have to go to the doctors is kind of a big deal. I just don't want to go. I'm healed and whole. Come on. So I ended up going in. We went to the ER. And they gave me some hydration and then a couple of recommended vitamins that I was supposed to take, and sent me home. Went home. Sorry, vitamins are trash. No, I'm just kidding. Vitamins are really good, but this one just wasn't working. And I was still sick, still didn't eat. Week number two goes by. At the halfway through that week, I was like home by myself, which is not very fun when you're sick. But just put a pin in that. At the beginning of the year, Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie have taught us, and Pastor Nancy, to write down your vision. So we got this big old whiteboard, and at the very corner, when I was writing out the vision at the beginning of the year, I wrote out this phrase. And I don't know why, but I did. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. How quickly and easily the devil tries to come for your faith. He wants you to stop talking, stop believing, stop pressing into the things that God has told you to do, or forget that God told you to do it, and then you miss out on it. Don't give up on your faith. So, unpin. I'm back at home, and that's the phrase I keep looking at. Don't give up on your faith. I got to the point just in that where I could barely walk down my hall. And my hall in our home is from that row to that row. That's how big it is. And I couldn't do it or without basically holding on to my washer and dryer halfway through. So with all that, I decided I couldn't stay at home anymore by myself and I needed to go somewhere else. So I went to a family member's home. started to feel a little bit better, could eat just a little bit, but still wasn't quite feeling good, so we went back to the ER again. Had to get hydrated one more time. Ended up going to their house after that. Sorry, this is not really a short testimony. It kind of took all year. But I was at their house, still getting sick, still couldn't really keep any food down, and just, it's going bad. It's going bad, people. You know, you can see that I'm not very big, so for me to drop 20 pounds in a week, this is not good. Was at their house. I ended up actually having to go back to the ER again. Tried to get a hold of my doctor's office. My doctor had gotten COVID, so she was not in the office. So the person that actually, my doctor is someone who I grew up with, so she knew me. She knew that me dropping 20 pounds, me not being able to eat, is a huge deal. So I couldn't get a hold of her and find out how to get the right medicine that I needed to take to get better. But I finally got a hold of the doctor's office and got a different doctor. Went and saw them. They're like, oh, you have this. I can't tell you what it's called because the name is not important. But I had a type of whatever you call it. When you're pregnant and you get sick, you just absolutely can't keep anything down. It's a thing. So she got me the right medication. She got me a nausea patch that I was able to put on the back of my ear, which was able to get me to start eating. Hallelujah. After that, I also needed a spiritual uplift, a spiritual medication, if I can put it that way. Staying with my family, I love my family, but I wasn't really listening to them very well. Sorry. But when you're sick and you just don't want to move, you don't want to talk, you're in your own environment and your environment's pretty comfortable, you don't try and push yourself. I had to get shoved out of my door, so to speak. Pastor Debbie got a hold of me and she asked me a question. She said, are you in lock and in love? Is there anything wrong in that area? And at that time, I couldn't really think of anything. She said, so kind of went on from there. And I was able to go to another church member's home. I cannot stress how important it is to be in church. How important it is to be in this building. Not necessarily saying this church, but in a church with a church family. COVID-19 has to stop because we need to be in this building. We need to hear our pastor every Sunday and every Wednesday. And that's just a supplement for what you do during the week. Okay, back to my testimony. So I got to go to, sorry, I got a lot in me from this year. I got to go to another church member's home where they challenged my faith. They said, this is your assignment for the day. Watch this sermon or read this scripture. Meditate on the word. They had a time in their home where they take 15 minutes every day and they pray. And then they laugh in the Holy Ghost. So they got the prayer and the rejoicing down. Hallelujah. So I was in this environment and I was like, whew, thank you. I needed that. I needed someone to be straight with me. I needed somebody to just say, do this and don't give up. I needed that, and I got it, because I was in the right place under my pastors who knew how to help. Yes, and they made me eat. I was on the upswing of that, but they got me the right foods. They got me and hooked up with the right person that has not more knowledge about that, and I was able to get all the nutritions that I needed to rebuild what the devil tried to take from me. But in that time, I was pretty low. But God brought me out of it and brought me up because I was in the right place and was able to hook up with the right people. So, praise God. That's kind of the end of that portion of it. I will keep the second portion short. I really did get better. I had to kind of do a slow progression back into work. A few hours here, a few hours there, and it increased and increased till I could work a normal shift. So for that second portion of the year, I was able to be back at work and back with my family, which was huge, because at the beginning of this, I was basically quarantined before quarantine happened, and I couldn't see my kids, or they would come and I'd get sick, and anybody who has kids does not want their kid to see them sick. Like, it's just not fun. So I was away from them for almost 2 months, really, having them being raised by my family. But they were back, and we were back in a good swing. We were doing really great. Hallelujah. And I got COVID and was pregnant. I went back to the ER. This time they admitted me into the hospital because being pregnant, dehydrated, and all that is just, at the stage I was at, would have been even worse for my child. So I was admitted into the hospital. And then I actually had COVID. It was really short, praise God, because I had, by that time, I had built my faith up for healing, that it didn't last nearly as long. The effects of it weren't nearly as extreme as it possibly could be. So I give God the glory for that. It was shorter because I got on it. I got on it because at the beginning of this, the main thing that hit me or opened the door for all of this stuff to happen was one thought that the devil brought that said, oh, you had morning sickness with your other two. You're going to probably have it with this one. And I was like, no, I don't want to have morning sickness. Morning sickness is terrible. Well, I didn't answer it. I didn't put the word on it. I didn't put my faith on it. And the devil was like, I'm coming in full swing. And that's what he did. So praise the Lord. All of that gone by. Now I'm ready to have my baby. And I have a wonderful doctor. I was like, can you let me have her a little early? Because I'm done. Which for me, I'm not one that likes to say I'm done when you're pregnant, because it just makes time go slower. So when I did that, she was actually like, you know what? Let me just ask. She's not the one that delivers the babies. So she had to go to the ones over her and ask them if they would be okay doing it. And she got one doctor that was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get her in early and have this baby. So we go in, everything's groovy and grand and dandy. I start, they give you the medication to get the process going and everything. And then she comes in and she breaks my water. Normal, natural thing. Had a lot of water. The doctor was a little bit shocked at what was happening. About 5 minutes later, the nurse that was in the room was like, something is not right. Something's not good. She calls the other doctor in. They're like, C-section now. I didn't get a chance to think about it. I didn't really get a chance to process it all. But what I did have a chance to do was say, I've been speaking over this that it would be light and easy, quick and efficient, and my baby is going to be healthy. So bring it on. I actually, as we're rolling down the hall, got to the room where they're supposed to give me a C-section. I'm like trying to crawl on the table for them. It was kind of funny. Anyways, I knew I was going to be fine. She's going to be fine. Even though it took maybe 15 to 20 minutes from the time they said you're going to have a C-section to the time that they got the baby out, it was just peaceful. I knew going down the hall, all I could think of was the serpent on the pole and how that's the sign that Jesus took my sickness. He took all my pains, and that this wasn't going to be anything that was going to harm me, harm her. It was just going to be easy. And so my testimony in synopsis is that I'm here. I didn't die. I have a beautiful baby girl who is joyful, joyful, peaceful. She smiles all the time. And we're here. Praise God. I tried.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Amen. She didn't get a chance to go to the family's home that she mentioned. She was sent there by Mama, Pastor Debbie. Just wanted to correct the record. You will go because you're not in the right place. And that's how that happened right there. We got one more testimony. Everybody still good?
Yeah.
Anybody got to go to work tomorrow? Look at you. All right, let's go all night. All right, so where's Vanessa? Miss Vanessa, come on up here. No, this is the last testimony, but these are good. We're enjoying these. Hallelujah. She's got a good testimony.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like my testimony is the summary of everybody's. But this year, pastors, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share this testimony, because there was a lot of testimonies that I thought of sharing, but this one is tangible, but it goes through a lot of the key elements that a lot of people have already talked about today, of how God has taught me to stand in faith. And so I just thought, like Pastor said, you know, when you have a testimony, share it, because then others can rise up to in their faith and act on it. And just like Jocelyn said, don't give up. Don't give up on your faith. God wants to do miracles in your life, supernatural things in your life. And it takes you standing in faith to get that. And pastors has ministered a lot on stepping out of the boat. That's like my favorite sermon. He gets on that and it just gets me going, because I'm one of those people that it doesn't take me much to get out of a boat. but sometimes I don't always gauge where my faith is to stay out on the water. And that's what this testimony is about. And so I'm going to start at the end, just so you guys hear the end result. But then I'll kind of go through, and I'll make it really quick. I've been practicing to keep it short. So, and everybody else has, like I said, summarized many of the things that I will share here. But out in this parking lot, there is a 2006 navy blue Jeep Grand Cherokee limited edition that has really cool tires on it that I didn't even know I would enjoy. I didn't think I was an off-road person, but I probably could be. And it has heated seats, and it's the desire of my heart. And the Bible talks about that God will give you the desires of your heart. And it doesn't, as long as you align yourself with His Word, then He is faithful, and He will help you bring your faith to completion. And I don't know about all of you in here, but I know I'm not perfect in faith, and I'm sure I could say that for many. Everybody, okay? You don't have to be perfect in faith. You guys on live stream, you don't have to be perfect in faith, okay? You just have to be willing to step out, get out of the boat, use the little faith that you have, give it to God, and let God do something with it, okay? And so this testimony started several years ago. I'm not going to go through all the details because they really don't matter, but I started believing for a new vehicle. I had a car. It was a good car. You know, it was fine. But my desire was to get a new one. It didn't have to be perfectly new. Just newer was good for me. And so there was a point where I had sold my car, and so then I had no car, because if I'm getting out of the boat, I'm just getting out full-fledged. And so with nothing under me but with the Word of God. And so I got out the boat. I sold my car. I was carpooling with my mom. And so I had no vehicle for a couple months. You know, I was thinking in my mind that it would be quick. Just because it's not quick does not mean that God's not working. And if it's delayed, it's not on God's side. It's on our side. And sometimes it takes a progression of faith, as we've learned from Ethan and all these different people, to get you in a position to fully receive your manifestation. And so there was a couple mishaps on this journey. I ended up, God did supernaturally bring forth a vehicle that I could have purchased. And we've heard this testimony today that fear will keep you out of your miracle. And so God did, he aligned a vehicle. It was a good vehicle. I had in my mind when I was looking for vehicles, there was two options. I either wanted a Jeep or I wanted a Cadillac. And so this one was the Cadillac. But God had supernaturally orchestrated. I had the joy of the Lord. I had peace about it. I was heading toward it. And I got hit with fear. Fear is the opposite of faith, and fear will rob you of your faith and rob you of your miracle. And so Mom and I were heading to go pick up this vehicle, and on my way, I got on the freeway. I drove like two freeway stops, and I drove right back off. Fear and anxiety hit me like a freight train, and I couldn't go. I couldn't even convince myself to go. And I knew once I got off, I missed it. I missed it. I missed God. I knew that was a miraculous car that I was supposed to go get, supernaturally ordained, and I missed it. And a lot of times what happens is when we miss it, we get condemned in our minds, and it's up to us to get back up. Pastor Debbie taught us that. You miss it, you get back up. And this was a perfect opportunity that I could have just missed it and stayed down and just said, oh, whatever, okay, whatever will be, will be. Well, no. I'm already out in faith, so let's just keep it going. Let's see where it will get me. And I love learning about faith however it comes. So when I miss it, I don't take that as an opportunity and just throw it away. I take that as an opportunity to learn and grow. And so I had missed it, and there was a moment that I let it get to me. I got in condemnation. I just said, well, whatever. It's taking too long. It's now been months without a vehicle. I'm just doing it my way. And I still was in prayer, and one word that I had gotten in prayer by the Spirit was the word auction. So then I put my own interpretation on it and said, oh, I'm supposed to go find a car in an auction. I don't know anything about auctions, but I'm supposed to go find a car in an auction. And so I did. I saw this Jeep, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to this auction. This was, I'm going to tell you right now, this was not God. Okay. This was not God. It wasn't a leading of God. It was Vanessa putting her own interpretation on it. And so I drove down. I went through the whole auction thing. The Jeep didn't even work. They had it, but it didn't work. And I ended up with, and I'll remind you right now of the story of Abraham and Sarah, how when they tried to do it their own way, they got an Ishmael, okay? Don't do it your own way. And so I ended up with a Buick. Like, it was a Buick. A Rendenza. I couldn't even pronounce it. A Buick Rendenza. It's a rendezvous. But... And so I got this Buick. This Buick... So when they drove the car down, if you've been to an auction, they drive a bunch of cars past you. So I only saw one side of...
Oh. How do you pronounce the name of the Buick? What's it called?
Rendenza.
That's what she told. That's what she told us it was. It was a Rendenza. That's a rendezvous, I believe. We laugh so hard at her Rendenza every time we see it. How's your Rendenza going? How's your Ishmael working out?
Yes, my Rendenza. So I didn't get to look at this car. I didn't get to walk around it. I didn't get to look inside of it. I mean, it was Ishmael all the way, okay? There was a ding on one side. It was bad. It was Ishmael. But later that year, Pastor, and if you guys don't have this series, you need to go get it. The Compassion and Mercy series Pastor put out a little while ago, okay? In 2018, he taught weeks on compassion and mercy. And I needed that because at that point, I mean, I already do enough to put myself in condemnation. I didn't need help with Ishmael, okay? And so I started pleading the mercy of God, and I started looking towards the mercy of God. And not only that, I started to see the mercy of God even with the Ishmael. Okay? What did God do for my good even with that? I paid for Ishmael cash. It was all cash. It drove. It was actually a good car, according to the mechanics. You know, in the sense that it got me from one place to the other. It doesn't negate the fact that it was Ishmael and I didn't get it following the plan. But it took me a while. The point is, even with Ishmael, like Abraham and Sarah, I didn't give up my faith. Okay? I said, Lord, I missed it. I know I missed it. I'm not ashamed that I missed it, because at some point, when you miss it, you learn. And that means that all those lessons I learned in the Ishmael, I'll apply them a little differently now. Okay? And so I stood back up. I got back in faith. For a year and a half, I drove Ishmael. It got me back and forth. It did a good job. Okay? Then I'm just going to skip ahead to the actual testimony. So, that was good, okay? Pastor talks about, in the Bible it says, the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. That was good, maybe good, okay? That was over there. And so then an opportunity came for another vehicle, and I took that time, the year and a half, to build my faith back up and to get it back into the place where I was ready to receive. And so the second lesson I had to learn was about obedience. When the Lord leads you to do something, be quick to act and be obedient. And so I finally was building my faith up, and the Holy Spirit led me. He said, sell that car. Sell the Ishmael. Get rid of it. Okay, I already knew it wasn't the will of God, so I already knew that part, but he said, sell it. It's time to sell it. And it was urgent. And he said it was a safety thing. And so I was slow to act. I was very slow to act. But God is merciful. That is probably the biggest thing I can say about this year. God is merciful. And so there was plenty of opportunities. Because I was disobedient, it opened the door to the devil. But God's mercy kept me from some things. A head-on collision in that car. Several other things happened with that car. But the door was still open to the devil. And I don't glorify the devil, but I let the door open. And so you got to be quick and you got to be obedient to act when the Spirit leads you. And so it ended up that car, I was driving home right after camp meeting. It was a great service. And the ball joint on my back tire went out while I was driving. And I was just blocks away from home. And praise God, nobody else was on the road, so there was no accident, nothing happened. I was able to get the car back, but it got my attention because I knew, I was disobedient. I didn't do what the Holy Spirit said. And again, when you miss it, repent and get back up, okay? So for the next several months, I went without another vehicle for another several months. That's not fun, but I did it. And I just kept thanking God. Thank you, Father, for my Jeep. I praise you, Lord. We don't just pray, praise him. And praise him ahead of time. Because you know, when you praise him, that God's working it out. And so I just thanked him for my Jeep. Thanked him for my Jeep. So long story short, there was other opportunities for other vehicles. But in the end, I finally got myself into agreement with God. I got myself in full alignment with God. What he said, how he was going to move. If he led me, I did it. I sold that car. It was gone. I just followed every prompting that I would get. And the one thing I hadn't gotten an agreement with was I was kind of stubborn in my mind. Mary was talking about being religious about something. I got in my mind that I wanted to pay cash for this car, and I just had to pay cash. Well, Pastor Nancy has taught us about knowing your measure of faith. I was not in faith for the vehicle that I wanted to pay cash. It's not that it was bad. It just, I my measure wasn't there. And so the Lord finally dealt with me about that, and I got my mind adjusted and figured out where I was in faith. And that was, okay, I could put what I've saved down and then have a smaller loan and pay it off early. And so once I got in agreement with that, it was within weeks the Lord had led me to the Jeep that's now sitting outside. I was just prompted to go online and to look up vehicles. And it was the first thing that popped up. It just had gotten listed hours earlier. And my mind started kicking in going, oh, no, there's no way. Somebody's already claimed it. It's been sold. You know, no way. Too good to be true. Well, God is too good to be true. So if it's good, it's God. And so I kept passing by it, and eventually the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, just see if it's available. And so I did. And I just kept following little promptings, following the peace. Pastors talked about that. Follow peace and joy. Faith goes with peace and joy. Follow it. And so I would just follow the peace and joy. And as I would take one step, then he would lead me to the next. As I would take another step, he would lead me to the next. I asked if it was available. The seller came back an hour later and said, yes, it is. And I was like, whoa, okay, it's available. What's next, you know? Go talk to the bank. You're approved for the loan. Okay, got the loan. The car's in another state. What's next? Ask your dad if he can go get it. My dad works for the airline, so it just worked out that he did not have a flight on that day. And so he looked and was able to figure out a flight to where that car was. And there was just so much favor. Then it was, how do I get the money to my dad to get the car? You know, so many things. And it just got in a line. I talked to this banker. They said, we'll transfer it tomorrow at 8 a.m. It'll be in his bank. So my dad flew down to Minnesota. The bank happened to be at the airport. Praise God. So he didn't even have to leave. So, and not only that, so much favor with the seller. The seller, man I've never met, said that he would go and pick up my dad from the airport because he lived around the block. He waited there for an hour while my dad landed in his plane and went and got the finances in order to pick up the car. People don't do that. But they do when God is working with them, okay? And so it just was such a good experience to watch God work. And when you step out on the water, Pastor has told us that, you get to watch God work. You get to see the supernatural happen. And then the biggest thing is you get to learn God's ways of how they work. And that was the biggest part of this testimony, was just having the opportunity through my mistakes, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the Word, through Pastor Jay and Debbie Everly, and just being able to learn how God works and what His ways are. And this is one verse that just stuck with me. It's Philippians 1:6, but it says, he that began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And that was something that just, he began it, so he's faithful. He's began it, so he's faithful. And there's so many other things that have happened this year that I just keep going back to that. God is faithful. I'm willing to learn. Teach me. If you're willing to learn, God will teach you. He will teach you his ways. And you will walk in the supernatural. So, praise God. Thank you, pastors.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. So many of these things, still renewing your mind, we all are renewing our mind, but if you're still thinking, you know, that's natural. What's important about that? The spiritual lessons that she learned, Miss Jocelyn learned, these different ones that learned. This is about learning these lessons on things that sometimes seem like they're unimportant, not necessarily big deals in life to the natural mind. Yet God takes those opportunities to teach these spiritual lessons that will serve our lives for the rest of our lives. That's why it's important. That's why these things that seem unimportant to man are very important, because people are walking out their walk with God, learning lessons of faith. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Well, we'll stop there. We've had, 7 different testimonies. Those are all, come on up, honey. Those are all, there's so many things. Different ones will speak to you more than others because of where you're at spiritually. Go home and listen to the lives or the archive and listen to those testimonies again, and just let God use that to educate your spirit and, you know, teach you how God works. He's doing something in your life too.
I just thought that was funny. She got so excited about a car. Just think about the manifestation of her man. That might be an hour-long testimony, you think? He's coming. But, you know, there. I kept thinking, you know, this is like a testimony for your husband. All the things she's learned about it. Well, anyway, okay.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen. She doesn't want an Ishmael. She doesn't want an Ishmael.
And I want to make it clear, you know, Jocelyn's family did a wonderful job helping her, by the way. It wasn't about that. It was about somebody that was able to stay with her during the day and that type of thing. So I just want to make that clear because your family did a wonderful job helping you out. So, yes. Amen. So,
thank you all for coming. Let's stand to our feet. Turn to your neighbor and say, there was nuggets in them. There are stories right there. Isn't there a lot of good nuggets in there? Thank you, C-Juth. I think I pronounced your name right. I always butcher it. Thank you all for sharing your testimonies. And I know there's many of you out there that while you're hearing their testimonies, you thought, wow, I've got a testimony I could share. And so share it with somebody before you leave. Amen? All right. You're going to be here on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Be ready. We're going to have a good service Sunday morning. And tell somebody about this archive and tell them you need to listen to these testimonies. You know, like it. I don't know how you do all that, but like it on your Facebook page. Tell everybody that you know on your Facebook page. Say, hey, there's some good testimonies here. I thought you'd like to hear them. All right. Get this word out. Greet your neighbor as you go. Say, 2020 is about to be really... Now, how many of you know in just a few hours... 2020, I mean, hindsight is always 2020. In a few hours, that's going to be more real than ever. Hindsight's going to be 2020. So tell your neighbor, 2020 is about to be over. 2021's going to be better. 2020 was a good year for us because of our faith, but it's going to be better in 2021. Amen.